All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of Liberty Lands. This is your host, Big John, joined as always by my friend and cohort, Mr. Mike Termod. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you. You're the only one I know who calls me a cohort, and I don't know if it makes me feel like, you know, your partner, which is the way I love to feel, or if you mean I represent an entire demographic group on my own, which would be fun too, I suppose.
Being an economist who usually dabbles with spreadsheets, I thought cohort would be the perfect loving sort of
It's terrific, but no one else, not even my mother calls me a cohort.
Fair enough. Then we'll keep it for our relationship right here, Mike. Okay. Speaking of relationships, loving and otherwise, I want to talk about this, Mike, because it might be soap opera-ish. It might be childish on some level, considering everything that the nation is facing, both politically and societally. But let's talk about it. Elon Musk, Donald Trump, no longer BFFs. And much like the classic spurned lover, these two now are not being nice about each other. They're not saying nice things about each other anymore. And Mike, let's set the stage a little bit. The big, beautiful bill was passed in the Senate with lots of exceptions, with lots of pork. Famously, Murkowski claiming tremendous personal turmoil and conflict over her vote, voted yes, but only after she secured a juicy deal for her home state. And in that sense, being a representative of the people of Alaska.
Yeah, you know, on some level, good for her. It's not the way I wish that business were done. But,
right.
You know, if you're going to play a dirty business, good for you for playing it well.
At least she's, you know, shades of old Alphonse D'Amato for us.
Yes.
But
youngsters, go ask your mom. Boy, that guy was a piece of work.
There you go. But apparently, Mike, you're not the only one who feels this way, because Elon Musk, apparently that was the final straw. Now, we know they had that little riff about a month and a half ago where, you know, Trump and Musk had their little bit of a public spat, one long weekend and a couple of perhaps backdoor promises, behind closed door promises, and it seemed to have smoothed over. Musk left Doge. He announced he was leaving government service, going back to run Tesla, which I've always said his genius probably is better spent running his companies. But it started up again. Musk's ire is up. And Musk pronounced, hey, guess what? This bill is so insane, so crazy, doesn't reduce the deficit. It's not anything I worked for. I am going to start challenging any Republican who voted for this bill in 2026, and if needs be, I will start a third party to break the uniparty, to break the duopoly. And as a matter of fact, I have a name already picked out, the America Party. And we're going to go out and challenge some of these no good MAGA bums that voted for this bill. So, Mike, let's start off at the beginning here. Overall, how do you start to categorize it? Because it's not like Trump has been sitting back taking the high road on this, right?
No.
Which would have been very un-Trumpian, let's be honest, right?
No, the president said maybe we should think about deporting him.
Thank you, Mike. So let's start off the conversation. Initial thoughts on this situation.
Boy, there's a lot to unpack there. Let's not go too quickly, because we might miss something that's actually important through all of that. First of all, there's a lot that's not important. But not all of it is unimportant. I think that there are some important things here.
Right.
One of the important things is that so much is unimportant. In other words, the fact that so many seemingly unimportant things that most Americans would characterize as unimportant, you know, whether two people can get along,
right,
actually has become important as a matter, potentially, of a matter of federal government policy.
Yes.
And, you know, you've got the president saying, well, maybe we're going to go after the subsidies to SpaceX or electric cars, NASA contracts, you know, things like these. And, you know, that can go round or square. As a libertarian, I'm not a big fan of most of these contracts in general, right?
Right.
I'm not a fan of this type of contracting at all. And some of these contracts, specifically NASA, I believe that we as a nation would be better off if we just weren't doing it at all.
Right.
But that's a completely different conversation. This conversation is about the fact that that policy is about to be driven by whether or not two guys can get along. That's dopey even by governmental standards. Right. One could argue that government is dopey getting involved with space flight, for example, as I would argue. But that's a different thing. I mean, this is dopey by that standard of how you're going to make these decisions about who gets the contract and how big and how much money and what's going to be done. And now this is going to be driven because, you know, two children can't get along. That's a problem no matter which side of the other debate you're on. To your point, no one is terribly surprised. The president has personalized things, business, contracts, relationships that would otherwise be considered company to company.
Right.
He has personalized them, one person versus another person, for his whole business career. So in some sense, we shouldn't be surprised by that. The president has been what I would call, I'm not sure the perfect word here, but I'm going to go with selfish. In terms of looking out for his own interests. One might argue that in business, you're definitionally selfish. You should be selfish. You need to look out for yourself, for your business. But as most of us learn when we're coming up in business, there is such a thing as negotiating too hard, which is to say you don't get what you want in the long run because you were so hell-bent on getting what you wanted in the short run.
Right.
And so you have relationships that fall apart that are more important than just whether two people can get along. I've had great relationships business-wise with people who didn't like me at all. I know that, you know, that surprises a grand total of only you and my mother. But, you know, sometimes that happens. And, you know, relationships with close friends where we just, you know, couldn't make the business work, sometimes that's just crumbling cookies, you know, that's just the way that it is. They are two different things, which is why we have the old adage of you don't mix business with pleasure. And it just seems like these guys haven't learned it. I think that Musk is the same way. I see a lot of Trump and Musk and vice versa in the sense that Musk has surrounded himself with sycophants and other flavors of yes people. He does not like dissenting opinions to be too close to him. He has people surrounding him that protect him from dissension. That sounds familiar.
Mm.
The upside of that, I suppose, one would argue that this is a guy with bold strategic vision that not everyone, not only is it true that not everyone shares it, but I think he would argue that not everyone can, that he is out ahead, that he is a visionary, and uniquely so.
Right.
And so if you're not on board with his vision, it's not going to work. That would be his, I think, argument. But given that, that leads to a problem. And I think that that problem is being manifested by what he said in the last few days about politics. Because it's one thing to be visionary in an area you understand. He's a fantastic engineer. It's another thing to be visionary in a realm you don't understand. And who among us doesn't love the idea of coming up with bold ideas in areas that we just know nothing about, right? and how much fun that is.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that there is a lot about politics that is learned best by doing it and learned, I guess one might argue, is learned even better by watching someone else do it and fail.
Right.
I think there's a lot to be learned from Bobby Kennedy's experience. One might argue that Kennedy himself is the kind of person who fancies himself a visionary.
Right.
With which a lot of us would agree. I'm not suggesting he's not. But someone who surrounds himself with people who buy into his vision and therefore launched a quixotic campaign as an independent to run for president and subsequently found out it's hard. It's hard even by the standards of someone whose last name is Kennedy. It's right. hard even by the standards of someone with a vice presidential candidate, meaning allowed by the federal government to donate as much as she wants,
right?
Who has hundreds of millions of dollars to spend, notwithstanding all those assets. And, you know, charm and intelligence and a philosophy that fits with the time, you know, not really what you would call libertarian, but certainly skeptical of big institutions, skeptical of the relationship between big pharma and the federal government and state governments. All of that, he was right about so much and got the timing right about so much, and especially coming off of COVID. So we get that. You know, he did a lot of things right. Notwithstanding all of that and how charming and good looking he is, notwithstanding all of that, it's still hard, and hard beyond ways that can just be fixed by throwing money at it.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that I wanted to kind of pause and let sink in, right? Because I think early on, one of the things I said when everybody was cheering that, hey, Musk is MAGA now, blah, 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 blah. I think one of the things I said, being the cynic that I am, is wait until his principles collide with MAGA. Then let's see what happens. Because whereas I've always said Trump is nothing more than a populist. If being a Democrat got him votes, I mean, we forget. This is the guy who proudly ran around cavorting with the Clintons and proclaiming, being a native New Yorker my whole life, much like himself, he used to walk around New York proclaiming, I'm just a Democrat boy from Queens. That's it. That used to be his slogan when he was first thinking about dabbling in politics.
Yep.
Quickly that changed, right? He's a populist. But he's very adept at the glad-handing, the backroom deals, the charm. Then you've got Musk, who I think, while they end up at the same, he ends up at the same point as Trump, as you mentioned. I think he starts out with first principles, believe it or not, and then looks and says, where do these first principles best fit right now? So to him, yes, waste is horrible, and spending, he views it as problematic. Now, a lot of the cultural stuff that he prizes, like whatever effects he had about his kid being trans, I think, how that's affected him, it's clearly affected him. He latched onto what he thought was the remedy for that, which turns out to be the culture wars fought by MAGA right now, right? So when those things aligned, he says, okay, I'm a MAGA guy. But deep down, it's not that MAGA drove his worldview. It's that his principles aligned with MAGA. And I think now, because I always used to say, like, here's a guy who loves posting on X all these Milton Friedman clips about how to run an economy and how government is wasteful and all that. And I always used to tweet, hoping he would catch and respond to me, like, how can a Milton Friedman lover, as apparently you are, tolerate this Trumpian economic nonsense? And you could see that logic was eventually, if he was being honest, you could see where the two would, right? And I mean, it's happened. That's happened right now.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let me say it slightly differently.
Sure.
Musk continues to be a project guy, in my view, even more than a principles guy. In other words, he's an engineer.
Right.
He's not a physicist.
That means he has a practical side.
Huge practical. As a matter of fact, I would argue that for him, it's all about the practical side.
Mm.
But this is what I mean. He believes in free market principles. He believes in Milton Friedman. He's an Austrian. He's a good government kind of guy. He's a fiscal conservative. All of those things that align with libertarianism. Maybe he's a good libertarian. Now the question is, how do I get that done? Because I'm an engineer.
Mm.
He's not sitting around writing tomes about how great Milton Friedman is. He's not sitting around reading about, you know, Locke and Rousseau and Adam Smith and, right. you know, Murray Rothbard. he's got a project, and his project is fixing the American federal government. Just like, you know, he's not sitting around drawing pictures of spacecraft and theorizing what it would be like to live on Mars. He's trying to get there.
Right, he's not Gene Roddenberry. He's actually going to be on Mars.
He's not Gene Roddenberry, and he's not Isaac Asimov. That's right. Right. So he's got to figure out, how do I fix the government? And to your point, I think you're right, hooking his wagon to Trump was the idea, not because they shared principles, but because they shared a project.
Gotcha. Right.
They were project partners. And both selfish, self-interested.
Right.
Again, one might argue that's the way they should be. And if you're fans of what their project is, you're rooting for them to be as selfish as possible and trying to accomplish that. Okay. But when it becomes clear that the projects in which they are each interested are two different things, that's when the partnership necessarily falls apart.
Right.
So here you are. And so I think that he just hasn't given up on this project. How do I avoid, by the way, you know, I myself have every respect for that. My team and I are engaged in a similar project. You know, we're willing to think outside the box. We're the ones that left the Libertarian Party, joined the Republican Liberty Caucus to have this debate inside the Republican Party, because we didn't have to compromise principles. We just had to compromise project. We had to relaunch the project. I had to figure out different ways of doing the project. We got outside of the project box.
Gotcha.
You know, how are we going to do this? This is what it is that we're trying to do. And I see Musk as trying the same thing, ultimately, is he's saying to himself, all right, I had to get out of MAGA. I had to get out of Trump. I had to get out of the White House. But I still got this project. I still have the same principles. So maybe the project's going to change, but I still got to figure out how to get the project done. I got to think outside the box. Am I starting a party? Am I doing the primary? And I think one of the things that was really fascinating is to look at his social media. He doesn't know how he's going to do it. He's trying to figure this out in real time. He's sitting there tweeting, right? You know, the equivalent of, well, you know, do I need two stages to get into orbit? And then do I build a space station, or do I go all the way to Mars? And I got the boosters and the fuel tanks and...
That's like perfect, Mike, because I was kind of thinking the same thing. And again, in some ways, not exactly, it is very much like Trump. Because if you remember during COVID, one of the things Trump was chastised about by a lot of people, myself included, was that he'd have these press conferences where he would ramble, like maybe sunlight can kill COVID, or maybe
we can inject a little Clorox.
Yeah, Clorox or Lysol, whatever he said, right? And there would be first of all, we would all say, like, why is he doing that? Like, even if he really thinks that should be behind doors, right? But a lot of people, in justification of him, said, well, he's just working things out. That's his way of working things out. He has to say them out loud, blah, 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 blah. Now, again, perhaps a little foolishly, but you could see that with Musk, but in a different way. Like, because he's an engineer, you kind of see the wheels turning, but towards something concrete and less silly, because the options that seem to be coming out on his feed right now are attainable for him, as opposed to making stuff up, right? So the primary versus the new party, for example, is an interesting working it out in real time, like you said. Like, am I better off, much like Mike Termott and his team, staying in the Republican Party and trying to drag them towards fiscal responsibility and liberty? Or am I better off, hey, much like Lars Mapstead, the whole system is rigged. I need to unrig this whole system for real change. And guess what? I have the resources to do it. And I have the friends that might be interested who have the resources to do it. So talk to me about that. How do you see him if you had to play like the great Carsoni or whatever that was on Johnny Carson? How do you see the future playing out here?
I think it's going to get more complicated before it gets more simple. I think that analogy is hitting it on the head. Both of these guys are willing to look stupid in public because they just don't think that talking out loud about, you know, thinking out loud about these things is a stupid way to look. They are both engineers at heart, and they're they just don't think that that's embarrassing, trying to figure it. And in each of their cases, they are too involved with their own ideas and insufficiently surrounded by people who would challenge their thinking that they don't realize that the things that they're talking about in public make them look like sophomores. You know, I don't think that Musk realizes how easy it would be to get better advice than waiting for a response to his tweets.
Right.
You know, someone tweeted back at him, it would make more sense to work inside the Republican Party, get a bigger bang for your buck, and, you know, structurally there's advantages. And his response was,
Right.
Like,
For the longest time, I don't know if he was being sarcastic by just posting a as an answer.
Yeah, I don't think he was. I think that, like, they really had the richest man and one of the smartest guys in the world thinking, arguably for the first time, about the difficulties of
starting a
new party versus running primaries. And that goes in the same category as Trump. You know, well, you know, we got Clorox, we got ivermectin, we've got, you know, this mRNA stuff I don't understand. And, you know, talking about it as president of the United States, you should not be having those conversations in public. He just doesn't realize you shouldn't be having those conversations in public. And there's something worth saying about this. You and I totally agree that these conversations should not be had. But there is some value in revealing your personality.
Yes.
In the sense that, you know, it's become popular to say Democrats don't take him seriously and Republicans don't take him literally regarding the president. And the same thing probably needs to be said about Musk. You know, don't take the detail that you hear in any particular day too seriously. But take his ideas seriously overall, because he's going to end up in an important place, but the process is going to look pretty ugly.
Right.
In revealing this about your personality, you signal some things that are important that I think a lot of Americans like. Now, if you're an establishment kind of guy, it's going to make you really uncomfortable. And, you know, who doesn't have a little bit of establishment in him, even if you're a libertarian?
Even if you're trying to purge yourself of it.
Even, you know, there's going to be a little cringe, just a slight cringe, right?
Right.
But when you indicate that you're this type of thinker and willing to think in public about this, you show enormous disrespect to the establishment. You're saying that you, little old you, who's never given this a second thought, is worthy of the biggest, most revolutionary concept, never thought of it before, but I'm completely rethinking everything you have developed over the past 240 years. Mm. Everything that you have come up with regarding HHS, the federal government, how the Constitution works, how National Guard works, right? Birthright citizenship. Everything you thought was settled, I'm just going to sit here and think about with an open microphone. That's how disrespectful I am of your establishment. And if you had said that 30 years ago, if I had said exactly what I just said 30 years ago, people would assume that I was trashing the president. But saying it today, a lot of people will see exactly what I said and consider that the highest compliment.
Right.
Indeed, I don't mean it as an enormous insult. There is something to be said for disrespecting the establishment. I don't believe in disrespecting the Constitution, and that's why we don't always see eye to eye, is that that's the one thing that is established that I do appreciate. I'm open to reinterpreting, I'm open to amending, I'm open to pushing the Constitution. But when you get it in your head that you can disrespect the Constitution, the problem I have at that point is that there's no guardrails on your own behavior in directing the government, and that's what I got a problem with. But this whole idea of rethinking how everything is done has tremendous political value, because I think it has actual value for American citizens who don't want everything to work the way it always has.
And you know, Mike, that's interesting, because as you were saying that, and what if you had said that 10, 30 years ago? I have to admit, I may be one of those libertarians that, while I agree with it, I'm still like, okay, I agree with all of that, but I still don't want a plumber taking care of my tonsillectomy. You see what I'm saying? I still have that little bit of a reserve. Like, I don't mind challenging. I don't mind thinking outside the box. But I think all of us, to your point, and I think where you and I agree and also differ slightly, is where those guardrails are placed. And like mine might be slight, I admit, mine might be slightly narrower. Yours might be slightly wider. But I think we both agree that there's a reason for those guardrails.
And this is why I get upset. I agree with everything you just said, by the way.
Yeah.
This is why I think the Constitution is so important, because it puts guardrails on, you know, how much leeway we give to any part of the government, including the president. But it's also why I get so upset about his crappy staff work.
Right.
Because part of the president's job is to think outside the box, give permission for creative thinking. We're not going to respect the establishment and the status quo just for the sake of it. That's his job. But when the Treasury Secretary thinks it's also his job, now you've got a problem. Because now you've got, to go to my favorite example, which I say every chance I get, if you've got a Treasury Secretary who thinks that the confidence of investors in your securities is an anachronistic concept that's just status quo and thinking inside the box, and we need to do away with that. Now you've got a problem. When you think that arithmetic is old-fashioned thinking and we need, you know, maybe 2 and 3 isn't 5, right?
Right, right.
Now you've got a problem.
Well, I'm glad you put it that way, Mike, because when you were talking, it brought to mind Terrence Howard, that actor. And he was on Joe Rogan. I don't know if you know this, but he was trying to convince people that it's some sort of plot. It's some Illuminati plot that 1 + 1 = 2. And, you know, and then they even brought on one of the Weinstein brothers to say, listen, I challenge everything. And what you're saying is nuts. You know, like, there's no basis. And he actually spent 2-3 of the driest hours axiomatically disproving everything that this guy said. And he said, I appreciate that you're a creative thinker, but none of this makes sense. And none of this should be considered serious by any mathematician, for example, right?
That's fascinating. A fascinating example. It reminds me, I was in high school. I was a child. Admittedly, I was a child. I want everyone to remember, as you listen to this stupid story, I was a child, okay? Not just legally speaking, but in every way you can just be a child.
Right, right.
Okay. And our calculus teacher was talking about some of the old math, Leibniz, and he said the following phrase, our teacher, for whom we had enormous respect, by the way. Gray hair, didn't matter. We just thought this guy was the bomb. This is what he said, referring to, I think it was Leibniz, but doesn't matter, because there are several people involved in the development of calculus. He discovered the calculus. I sat in my seat thinking, does my teacher just have bad grammar, bad word usage, or did he really mean what he just said? He didn't invent calculus. He discovered it.
Right.
And not just calculus. The calculus. meaning there's something out there that's real, that's true, and it is for humans to find it.
Well, you know, Mike, I don't want to delve into this because this is fascinating. Maybe after the cameras are off, we can have a conversation and a coffee or something, because that's one of those age-old things, right? Is math invented or discovered, right? And, you know, you'll go down Clark's equations and you'll say, like, oh, the square root of a number is also negative. That means these subatomic particles we predict should be spinning in the opposite direction. And people think you're nuts. And then along comes the Large Hadron Collider and it says, no, they were there, right? The math predicted it. You didn't invent it. The math predicted it.
The math revealed what already is happening. It's
right.
Just for us to discover it.
It's an ancient Greek way of looking at math as a revealed truth as opposed to invented.
Exactly right. And I think that, you know, there are guys like Trump and Musk who may well be convinced of similar things.
Right.
That they do believe there are truths out there. They just don't think that the things that you find to be true and interesting are the things that they find to be true and interesting.
Right. And again, I think that's a fair assessment, but I'm also wondering again about those guardrails, right? And as almost to personalize it and exemplify it between the two of them, I find it interesting that Musk is pro strong deportations and we're being replaced and all that jazz, but gets into a disagreement with the wrong guy and now his citizenship comes into question. He was a naturalized citizen and now Trump is exploring, can you strip naturalization from someone simply because they disagree politically with the president? On the president's side, he's saying, oh, this Trump, this Musk character, maybe Doge should investigate him because I know for a fact he's been living off these subsidies in his companies. And my first question when I read that truth that the president posted was, well, if you've known about it all this time, why did you go along with it? Why wasn't it part of the reduction? Why wasn't it part of your fiscal package? Meaning he was willing to sell out the financial integrity of his program because a friend of his was a political donor. Helped him with his election campaign. And again,
right.
we saw some of this with Vivek, but Vivek's came very, I think his exit was very much so solely tied into immigration and what he felt was stupid immigration policy. But Vivek chose a different path, right? Rather than confront the president, he just kind of disappeared over a weekend, right? Resigned.
Different personality, different assets, different resume,
right.
Different goals, different age,
different future. You're absolutely right. It's a wonderful case study to see how Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy have dealt with their schism with MAGA.
And
so right,
to your point, let me jump in here because
sure.
You left one piece out of your paragraph.
Go ahead.
Musk also fighting back in a very personalized way by suggesting that he's got the goods on Trump having been involved with that
Epstein,
thank you.
Yeah.
Just completely personalizing these things.
Right.
Again, revealing, I believe, a willingness to think outside the box for the sake of whatever project they think is all important.
Right, right. And so that's interesting to me because on the one level, open, to your point, out-of-the-box thinkers, willing to challenge the status quo, but now they each have been dinged by the other what typically would have been considered outside the guardrails, right? Like personalizing the president probably without cause. Again, I'm just speculating here.
Being who knows? Who even cares?
Who knows, right? But I'm saying in the context of that, and also now – we're challenging naturalized citizens, not green card holders, which is bad enough, legal residents, but people who actually have become citizens through the naturalization process. So that's all very fascinating to me. But Mike, let me wrap this up because I have a general, let's take a step back and ask a somewhat more general question here. Elon Musk, right? Again, I'll say this for the longest time. I've always respected him. I truly view him as one of the true geniuses in this world.
No question about it.
Right. And I was having a discussion with my wife during the week, and I said, I paused and said, we're living in Star Trek. For those of us that grew up watching the classic series on TV, William Shatner and everything, we're living in Star Trek. Our smartphones are rudimentary tricorders. The talking computers that you always saw on a computer, calculate, blah, blah, blah. That's AI right now. We can have rudimentary conversations, especially fact-based ones, with AI right now. If I look across Musk's other companies, Neuralink is when amazing. You think of amazing stuff, allowing deaf people to hear, allowing paralyzed people to move. You have the whole thing with artificial intelligence with XI. SpaceX, in our lifetime, Mike, there's an outside chance we'll see a colony established on Mars. Everything he's doing with Tesla, everything he did for free speech with X. When you look at all these things, I have to wonder, should someone like Elon just simply focus his genius on what is undoubtedly dragging up humanity as a whole to a better place? Because I doubt anyone would say, or very few people would say, the tangible results of his scientific efforts are not extremely beneficial, right? So is he better off focusing on what he truly is gifted at as opposed to dabbling, being distracted, co-opted by politics at this point?
My guess is that just like the difference between left and right on the one hand and libertarianism on the other, that it's not a matter of on which he should focus, but whether he should be focused at all. Mm. And so in that sense, I would say if the choice is between getting him to focus on one of those two or not focus, the benefit of his genius can only come into play by removing any effort to try to focus him. Mm-hmm. In other words, I think that his creativity is the type that has to be focused by himself, by his own curiosities, focused internally, and therefore it has to be something in which he has an interest, and sometimes that's going to be just whatever he's looking at the moment. Hmm. I don't think there was anything necessarily structured about the thought process that led him from one business to another already. You know, it's not obvious how he went from electric cars to boring holes in the ground to get people from one place to another, except that they both have something to do with transportation.
Right.
And so, yeah, all of those things do seem to have more in common with each other than they do with politics. But consider the alternative, consider the implication, which is, No, politics couldn't possibly benefit from outside thinking, right? You get where I'm going. Mm. There is so little to speak for how we do politics in this country that I'm willing to spin the wheel no matter how that wheel is fashioned.
Right.
You know, to exaggerate, and I'm not sure you can exaggerate, but I will attempt to do so.
Okay.
If you said, we're going to convene a focus group of a bunch of 11-year-olds and see what they think about this problem and give them, you know, 2 days and a bunch of sugar to come up with some ideas, I'm not disregarding that. I'm not giving that the knee-jerk boot. You see where I'm going with this?
I agree with you, but I guess the question is not whether politics can benefit from Elon's attention, but which of the two spheres, if either, would produce the better result for the rest of us, do you think?
I get it, and what I'm saying is that I don't know that they're two different spheres.
Okay.
It's just, you know, stuff that he wants to think about at the moment. And if you told anyone, don't think about pink elephants, that's what he's going to think about.
Sure.
And so he has his eyes trained on this at the moment. What I wish we could do is not just treat him as a you know as a lunch train, but rather focus him procedurally. You know, how can we build a better system and get him focused on that? It's going to take money. I don't mean that money's not a part of it, and that needs to come along with him. He's not going to solve this problem without bringing his bank account.
Sure.
But he needs to get involved in a much more serious way if he's going to play a serious role in this. He's going to have to quickly get past the, oh, that's an interesting tweet. Maybe I should think about that differently phase. And I appreciate that that's how most of these business started it. You know, I'm sure each one started it, started by, you know, someone saying something dumb over lunch.
Right, an outrageous tweet probably.
An outrageous tweet probably, and it was off to the races. But we got to get past that quickly because there is so much to be learned from this. You know, if he had – it's one thing to come up with an electric car, name it after Tesla, based on technology that was developed over the past couple of hundred years. It's another thing to say – I need to develop the concept of induction invented by Tesla and work my way up from there, you know, and now I got to figure out how to extract rubber from trees to make tires. You know, you need to build on shoulders, and you're not doing that when you say things like, you know, maybe I should start another party without, I mean, someone tried to do that a year ago, not 100 years ago, a year ago, and it pancaked. So, you know, can we learn and take advantage of that and recognize how important the Republican Party is at this moment? At this moment, the Republican Party is the only game in town. Mm-hmm. No one is arguing, not even Democrats are arguing that there's going to be a big intellectual debate inside the Democratic Party that's going to all of a sudden change the political culture in this country or anywhere else in the world.
Right.
Not even Democrats are arguing that. They're still arguing about what went wrong in November of 24. They're not to the starting line in terms of an intellectual debate.
Right.
So with all due respect to my family members and friends who are Democrats, each of whom I love dearly, you're sitting this one out. I'm sorry, I wish you weren't.
Right.
And Musk needs to learn quickly that the Democratic Party, the independent parties, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, they're all sitting it out at the moment. Now, if you want to develop a third party, okay, good for you. That's a, you know, 16-year project, not a 16-month project, and it has nothing to do with the OBBB, and it'll happen too late to stave off the financial collapse that you know is coming.
Right.
So if you want to actually get down here on planet reality, you're gonna have to figure out how to make sure that politicians come to power who are fiscally conservative and replace the people who are in the administration as Donald Trump leaves office eventually, and how to replace Congress and the Senate to get people in there that are more fiscally conservative. One more comment?
Sure.
We have time?
Yes.
One of the things that's really fascinating, and I don't know that Musk is focused on this, if you look at the Senate and how they're voting on the One Big Beautiful Bill, right?
Right.
Everyone's upset because Rand Paul, well, I'm not upset with Rand Paul, but a lot of people are upset with Rand Paul for having voted against it.
Right.
Tom Tillis also voted against it for the opposite reason.
Mm.
Because it doesn't spend enough. Let that sink in. The next problem inside the Republican Party, inside the Senate, the next, you know, the Murkowski and the others who have a problem with it, right? Their problem is that it doesn't spend enough. It's not that there's too many cuts. I don't think that we've been focusing on this. What the senators are upset about is the reforms to Medicaid. And that's worthy of a debate. I don't mean that they're stupid. You know, that's worthy of a discussion. That's worthy of a debate. I believe that they're wrong and not in the long-term interest of America. I'm not trying to say that they're idiots. The point is this. this is not a Rand Paul problem, right? This is the GOP wants to spend too much money problem. And even if you believe that your political problem is Rand Paul, that's only one guy.
Right.
You've got four other senators who are mad at the president because he's too fiscally conservative, and he's not fiscally conservative enough to stave off the financial collapse that's coming. That is a problem worthy of arithmetic.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in Musk's process, right? Like, is it that I'm just going to go by the yes-no votes, to your point, or am I just going to go – or do – which I think eventually, given his analytical nature, I think eventually he'll get to it, which will be, to your point, these guys voted no, which is what I wanted. But they voted no because it's not big enough.
That's a problem.
He needs to
go by the RLC scorecard. Elon Musk needs to go by the Republican Liberty Caucus scorecard of how people voted, not just in terms of fiscal conservatism, but in terms of freedom and liberty in general in the House and in the Senate.
There you go. I think that's a perfect way to end the episode, Mike, with a plea to Elon to please reach out to Mike and the RLC. Get their scorecard so you know who to properly target in 2026. All right, everyone. It's been a fun episode today. Join us again next week when we'll have another episode of Liberty Lens right here on Grumblings Media, grumblingsmedia.com. And just look for Grumblings Media, all one word, on every platform out there, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, Truth Social, anywhere you get your social media, I guess. Until next time, for Mike Termott, this is Big John. Peace, everyone.